Before we get started about the current advances in the technology available for the hip and knee replacements, what would you say would be the typical life cycle of hips or joints among the general population?
So among the general population, not everyone will get hip and knee arthritis. Certain people do, others don't. And there is not just one aspect of their lifestyle that leads to hip arthritis. It's a multifactorial process, which includes lifestyle, body weight, trauma in the past, history of infection, or genetic. It could be inherited. So all of these combine together and increase the chances or possibility of a person having hip or knee arthritis.
Do you think there are things that we are doing today that perhaps we weren't doing in the past, which are contributing one way or the other to the issue?
I think a certain part of our lifestyle definitely is leading to it. Maybe we are spending more time sitting down in front of computers, less active, which definitely leads to changes in your bone strength and quality, because the more you use your joints and bones, the better, the stronger they are, which is why optimal exercise is what's suggested, because extremes on both ends is bad. For example, if you're sedentary, that will have an effect on your health, body weight, mood, nutrition. Similarly, on the other end of the spectrum, if you're pushing too hard, can give rise to conditions like stress fractures of your tibia or your neck or femur. So I would say optimal exercise within certain limits is acceptable and advised.
It certainly seems to me, and I'm guilty of the former, that sedentary lifestyles, obesity, all of those things are on the rise, we know. And at the other end of the spectrum, as you say, we have some people who are dedicated runners or sports people. And I would imagine that that generally is to be encouraged, but it can be too much as well.
That's right. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Let's talk a little bit about how we would know that we are exercising to an optimal level.
That's a difficult question. I guess it's different for different people, but I would say if you listen to your body, if you are feeling good in yourself, you are feeling energetic, ready for the rest of the day, or if you exercise at the end of the day and feeling refreshed at the end of your session, I think that's the way forward, rather than feeling tired or not wanting to go into another session because it'll leave you with so much fatigue that you won't be able to do anything else. I guess that's what I would recommend, is listen to your body.
I'm sure that's excellent advice. And I've probably not been listening enough to my body, which has been prompting me to get up and get out more often. Now, the good news is that the treatment for these sorts of problems has improved enormously over the years.
Absolutely, yes. It has definitely improved significantly over the last 10, 15 years. Different aspects of surgical management have, taken a big leap forward. Let's talk about the implants first. At the moment, the longevity, based on our National Joint Registry, is survivorship is about 96% at 15 to 20 years. But bear in mind, these are implants that were 15 years older. And typically, if we talk about hip replacements, for example, there's a hard bearing, which is the ball, which articulates with the soft bearing, which is polyethylene. So the hard bearing could be metal or ceramic. And it's normally the soft bearing that gives way or wears out. Over the years, the properties of the polyethylene that we've been using has improved significantly. And at the moment, we are hoping that the wear properties have improved so much that one operation is what every patient would need to take them through their lives. Talking about patients, if you divide their surgical journey into three parts, let's say preoperative, operative, and postoperative phases. At the moment, we're looking at pre-optimal, preoperative prehabilitation, or improving their status before surgery so that they can get through the stress. This includes various aspects. First of all, we look at their medical optimization. For example, what are their kidneys like? What's their liver like? What's their heart like? Will the heart tolerate that stress? If needed, we can do echocardiograms and prescribe medications, which will help optimizing their situation. Preoperative physical exercise is good. It has been shown that if a patient is exercising prior to the surgery, their recovery is much better immediately after surgery. Their recovery time is shortened and they're up and about sooner, which in turn has its own advantages. For example, immediate complications like chest infections, blood clots in their legs or lungs, the incidence of that will go down if the patient is up and about sooner. Nutritional support is another aspect. It helps you energizing yourself, for the want of a better word, so that you can get up and about better. It's stressful. Surgery is for the patient. They don't know what to expect. It's the unknown, which can lead to anxiety, stress, fear. So we also offer emotional, psychological support. You know, we go through the whole scenario. They have pre-op joint schools where patients get told what to expect before, during, and after their surgery. During surgery, our anesthetic regimes have improved significantly. So we are using different techniques to help with pain afterwards. So it used to be that every patient used to get general anesthetic intubation, but that has changed completely. I would say more than 95% of my patients now get spinal, which is like an epidural. So you just numb below the legs, below the waist, and if needed, you can have a bit of sedation, which again helps with recovery. So these are short-acting anesthetics. So the patients are up and about within a couple of hours of the operation. And they get immediately seen by physiotherapists on the ward who are now trained to get them up and walking, compared to a few years ago when patients were lying in bed for days after surgery. So I think the pre and post regimes for rehabilitation have improved significantly. The anesthetic techniques have improved. The implants have improved. And as a result, we're seeing much better outcomes for both hips and knees in general.
That is very, very encouraging. To what extent do you think some people are reluctant to register their concerns about their hips and knees because they're worried about what they imagine will be a long and possibly painful process?
I would say, of course, there are some patients who do feel that they need to go and have a think. So it's my job as a consultant to advise you that you have hip or knee arthritis. And these are the options available for you. You can either carry on with rehab, painkillers, or you can have surgery. That decision will be yours. I can tell you what I can do, but that decision to go ahead with surgery will be yours. I can provide you with all the information that you need, all your concerns, and I'll try and answer to my best knowledge, and then it'll be up to you. So far, there are very few patients who actually refuse. Once they are informed what to expect, they're quite happy to proceed with surgery.
And what would you say, therefore, should be the correct stage that someone should get in touch with you or one of your fellow orthopaedic consultants?
I would say if they are in pain, whereabouts in the spectrum of pain they are, is it affecting their quality of life? Are they able to go on their regular walks? Are they able to perform the regular exercises that they've been doing? Are you able to go for a swim, to go for a run? Are you able to sleep? Is the pain waking you up at night? How about walking up and down the stairs? If you're able to drive, if you're having trouble with these daily activities or things that you would like to pursue as a hobby, then yes, get in touch with us.
So it's a level of the pain and discomfort when it's getting in the way of your daily life, and no one should be a martyr to that pain, presumably.
Absolutely, yes. Surgery is stressful for everyone, understandably, but the techniques that we're using nowadays are so safe, and we do this every day on a daily basis. There are hundreds of thousands of joints being replaced in the country. So there is a bit of apprehension, of course, understandably. But it's a very safe environment that the patients get exposed to during surgery, before and after surgery. And if they are struggling, if they're suffering, come and see us.
That's really helpful. I'm reminded, obviously, we've had the Olympics very recently. And I recall that when I was actually on a cycle ride and went to Stamford in Lincolnshire to Burley House, the home of, obviously, Lord Burley, who ran in the 1928 Summer Olympics. He actually got a gold medal for the 400-metre hurdles. Well, later on in life, by which time he'd become the 6th Marquess of Exeter, he had a hip replacement. He had a titanium joint. When later in life he had that replaced, he took the joint and he mounted it at the front of his Rolls-Royce on the front of and he drove around very proudly with a titanium joint on the front of the Rolls-Royce. Those were different days, I imagine.
Oh, gosh, yes. That's a story. Wow.
Well, thank you so much indeed for coming on.
Thank you.